You have your Bibles this morning. If you would turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 1. It's a little girl. She's probably about 5 or 6 years old, and she was showing one of her friends a picture of the manger scene at her church. And the little girl looked at the manger scene, the picture there, and she said, "Well, I see Mary with the baby, and I see the little cradle, and I see the shepherds, and I see the sheep, and the hay, and the donkeys, and the cattle. And there's even wise men." Now, we know the wise men weren't really there at the manger scene. But she said, "Where is Joseph?" And the little girl looked at the picture and said, "Oh, he's the one taking the picture." It seems like a lot of the time for us that Joseph is out of the picture. Now, we realize that Jesus was born of a virgin and it was a miraculous birth. And we realize that Joseph is not the real father of Jesus. But he is one of the most overlooked people in all of the Bible. And I do not know that I have ever preached about Joseph. But this morning, I feel led to preach about Joseph. And we want to title it this, "An Overlooked Figure." If we're not careful at our church, there'll be things and people that we'll overlook. Just take for granted, they're always going to be here to teach Sunday school or to sit in a pew to say amen, preacher. Just take it for granted. And we'll overlook things. Then again, we might overlook Jesus, and He is the reason for the season, is He not? But this morning, we want to think about Joseph. He's out of the picture in a lot of places, but he is a remarkable person. I want to study some things about Joseph and see if some of those things could be said about you or about me. If you'd stand, please. We'll read in Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 18. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise." And let me stop and say, bear record to the first 16, 17 verses. There is a lineage of Jesus. Do you see it there? And he says, "The birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 2. Verse number 21. "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, let's just stop right there. Let's stop right there. You notice that Joseph took that child after it was born and presented him to the Lord according to the law. Okay? So I want us to think a little bit about Joseph. No, just some facts about him. Father, we thank you for allowing us to read a portion of your word this morning. I pray, God, you'd help us this morning to stand and preach boldly the truth of the word of God. And I ask, God, that you would help this morning us to be able to hear from heaven and receive that which we need to receive. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I want to say a few things about Joseph. First of all, I think Joseph was chosen. Don't you? Think about it. God's going to send his son to be born of a virgin, and that young man's going to be raised up in a home. And there needs to be a daddy figure, physically speaking, that's there in the home. And if you were going to take your child and going to put it in a home somewhere and you weren't allowed to take care of it anymore and your wife wasn't allowed to take care of it, what kind of home would you choose? Wouldn't you want to make sure that there was somebody there that'd be good to your child? Wouldn't you want to make sure that there was somebody there that would be a godly, parental example to your child? Joseph, my friend, was chosen of God because he would be good to the child, Jesus. And because Joseph, my friends, he was a godly man. In fact, we saw where he was doing what he could to make sure that he paid the taxes and make sure he presented the right sacrifices and doing things in accordance with the law. Also notice in those first 16, 17 verses where it tells us the lineage of Jesus, but watch in verse 16, Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary. Joseph was in the lineage all the way back to Abraham, which goes all the way back to Adam. God's promise came through Abraham. And Joseph has a link there. Mary's got one too. They both have links. Understand that God has been carefully planning, not just since the beginning of time, but in time before that, in eternity past, he has been planning when his son would come and to whose home he would be raised in. I want to say to you, Joseph was chosen. So were you. Ephesians 1:4 says this, that for he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. You may not necessarily be called to be a Joseph, but he has chosen you. And he has chosen me. He's chosen to save us. He didn't have to, but he chose to. And he sent his son that we might be saved. We've been chosen. I always liked it as a little schoolboy growing up, and we'd all get out there ready to play baseball, and we'd name two captains. They'd get out there and they'd start picking teams. And you didn't want to be the last person that was standing there. And there were times when I was real little that I was the last person that was chosen. And it really hurt my feelings. And finally, I determined that I was going to learn to play ball. I wasn't going to be last anymore. And I might have moved up the notch maybe just one. Maybe just one. But I sure was glad to be chosen instead of being left out. Today, my friends, he chose you. You say you chose him, but I say he chose you first. Amen. Second of all, I want us to see Joseph's character. He's a godly man. Look at verse number 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. The scriptures call him a just man. Now, it didn't say he was just a man. It says he's a just man, meaning that he is righteous. He's living by faith. He is trying to live and be obedient to the sacrificial system of the law. He's living according to the word of God. Could that be said about your character? That you live in the courts of the Word of God. And here he is, he fell in love with a young lady. Not just any young lady, but a young virgin by the name of Mary. They became engaged or betrothed, or the word here is that they were espoused. For the Jews, there was a period of espousal that could last up to 1 year, and it would be a time that they would go ahead and show up the physical fidelity one to another without physical relations. Amen. You know what that means. That they were living righteously before God. Not doing things that they ought not to be doing before marriage. You know, premarital sex. And they were espoused to each other. And the Jews, for an espousal, for an engagement, they treated that, my friend, just like the marriage. It was just as if they were married, yet the ceremony has not yet been performed. And then a shocking discovery is made. Mary comes up to be with child. She's going to have a baby. And Joseph knew it's not his. Can you imagine they'd made marriage plans? Where they're going to live. He's going to work as a carpenter. They've got all these hopes and dreams. She's come up pregnant. It's not his. His hopes and dreams are shattered. What a tragedy. Brother Jerry, you could have took his heart and just ripped it right out of his chest. He was that crushed to find out this news. It was a crisis. It was disaster in the lives of these young people. Especially for Joseph to find this out. Now, facing the dilemma. What am I going to do now that my espoused wife or my fiancé, as you know I know it today, what am I going to do about this? The Bible says he has a right to stone her if she's been with another man. He could have been angry and killed her, had her stoned, but he loved her. And he said, I'm not going to stone her, even though the law says I could. But after all, she still hasn't done wrong. She didn't deserve to be stoned. She'd not been with another man. She'd been with God. Then he thought and said, well, it must have went through his head for a second to stone her. And he thought, no, I love her. No, that's not right. I can give her a bill of divorcement because she's cheated on me. That in Deuteronomy 24, verse 1, I believe it would say that he could do that. And he could make it very public and everybody know what's going on. But he thought, you know what? I can't do that to her either. She's already humiliated enough, going to be having a child outside wedlock. How could I make it even worse and go public with this and treat her bitterly and wrongfully? I'll just take the wrong and I'll give her that bill of divorcement and I won't do it publicly in front of everybody, but I'll put her away privately. Quietly, just let this thing go. I'll go my way. She can go her way. She can be with whoever is the father of this child. That would be just fine. Let's just sever our relationship. But my friends, notice when he didn't stone her, he didn't publicly divorce her and start rumors and scandals about her. You know what motivated him not to do that? He loved her. And we may say a lot of things about Joseph, but let's note his character. He was a just man, and he was a man that responded to a crisis in love. How you respond to a crisis says everything about your character. You may tell me to your blue in the face what a great person so-and-so is, or what a great person you are. But when the tough gets going and the crisis comes, how you react to it, how you respond to it, will really show what you're made of. It's amazing when you take a sponge and put it in a pail of water. When you take the sponge and put a little pressure on it after you draw it out of the water, when you squeeze it, what comes out of it? Water. Because that's what it was in. It's amazing us Christians, when we get in a tight spot and we get squeezed a little bit, what comes out of us? Well, God bless you. Praise God for the crisis. Thank you, Lord, for the trouble. Thank you for the trials. I'll serve you in it. No, it's not what comes out of you. You come out of cussing and ready to fight and ready to throw a hissy fit. Let me tell you a thing or two about them. Joseph was a man of character. You and I ought to be Christians with a proper testimony. Proper character. Amen? Now, understand he had made plans. He had lived his whole life and he had made plans. And then now something's happened and changed his plan. You've lived your life. Look at me. You've lived your life. You've got hopes and plans and dreams. And something's happened. It did not turn out quite like you thought it would. And your heart was shattered. And your dreams came crashing down around you. You were crushed, we might say. Now, understand, you're hurt about it. But behind the scenes, this was not an accident, this strange event. God was at work. You mean God broke my dreams and God's broke my heart? Oh, yeah. What do you mean, preacher? You see, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are His ways higher than our ways. We don't understand why things work out the way they do. It looks so monumental and something we can't overcome, but He allows these trials to come that we might grow. Let me say this. Before David ever got victory fighting the giant, he had faced a lion and a bear. Before Elijah ever got victory up on top of Mount Carmel, he had been down there by the brook Cherith, and it went dry. Your hopes and plans and dreams may get shattered or crushed. And I'm talking to some in this congregation today that you're just crushed this holiday season. You're living a defeated, despairing life right now. But you understand what I'm telling you? Face it. If you're going to live for God and be used for God, you will go through a crisis. And it will develop your character for His name's sake. Let me say thirdly this morning about Joseph. He has a calling on his life. He was chosen, oh yes, but he has a calling on his life. And you have a calling on your life. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. You are the called. Joseph was called, was he not? Here he is in this dilemma. And in a dream that night, he is assigned a task. Does anybody here say, ooh, preacher, I believe God's given me a task. Some of you look at me like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I'm just here. I'm going to tell you what. God has a task for each and every one of us to perform. Maybe it is to visit your neighbor or invite someone to the house of God. I feel like we're failing in our task that God has given us to perform. But He has given a task. It is monumental. Look at it. While he's pondering, here comes a statement from the angel of the Lord in a dream. He says in verse 20, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." You know what he's saying? He's saying that this is the Son of God in her womb. What? And then he quoted Scripture, verse 23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Ooh, can I tell you something? Joseph's a God-fearing man. He knows the law. He knows to pay his taxes. He knows to offer sacrifice when he sins. He's a just man. And he remembers that God has promised there'll be a Messiah come to Israel one day. And this will be a sign unto him in Isaiah 7:14 that a virgin will conceive. Now if your Bible says, if you got one of those perverted versions that says a young woman shall conceive and that's a sign. Let me tell you what, young women conceive every day. But hear me. Virgins don't conceive on their own. He said, this will be a sign to you. A virgin will conceive. When Joseph hears this, a virgin's going to conceive. He knew Mary was a virgin. He's not touched her. He knows it. And when he hears this news, he thinks, can this thing be? The girl I'm going to marry is going to bear the Messiah into this world? And God's assigning me the task of taking her into my home and she becoming my wife and we deliver this child and I raise the Son of God in my home. God assigns me this task. I'll do something else. anything else. I'd preach. I'll do it. But I ain't doing that. Well, why not? That's a great honor to be picked to do such a great thing. Can you imagine the scandal? What's people going to say? They not going to believe Mary's still a virgin with child. They going to believe that. They going to say that baby's Joseph's. People's talking. Joseph and Mary, yeah, they better go ahead and get married. Yeah, they couldn't wait. And then there'll be other people say, well, baby's not Joseph's. She's got a secret lover. Joseph has no idea. But he's going to marry her anyway. And then some people went around saying, well, she's been raped by a Roman soldier. And Joseph's having pity on her and will take her into his home. Realize that Joseph's going to bear a cross. He's not called to save the world. No, Jesus is. But he is called to be faithful. He is called to be obedient. And he's called to bear a cross of shame and public scorn and humiliation. It's a cross you and I don't like to bear when people talk about us. It hurts us. But he's told, don't you stone her. Don't you divorce her. You fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. Watch this. She says in verse 21, she's going to bring forth a son. I'm going to tell you what the gender of the baby is going to be. It's going to be a boy. How you know all this? Oh, because I'm the angel of the Lord. In fact, you're going to call his name Jesus. He was named before he was ever born. Well, preacher, we do that all the time. Yeah, but you pick out the name. God picked out his name. Jesus means this. Jehovah is salvation. This Jesus will save his people from their sins. Woo! What a blessing. Now, you may be called to carry a difficult, heavy cross. You have a hard task to perform. And the devil, the world, and your flesh wants to do everything they can to make sure you do it in shame and ignominy. They want you to be ashamed of who you are. They want you to be ashamed of what you stand for. You won't go down there to the school and say, I'm a Christian, because they'll laugh at you. You won't say, I won't drink, but you better stand for God and right. Old Joseph did. Joseph found out that God will strengthen you and help you to perform what task he's given you and will encourage you and help you to perform it. Some of you have been given a task. You're having a hard time figuring out in your mind, why am I having to bear this cross? Think about the cross Joseph would have to bear. So we see his calling. He was called for a difficult task, right? Number four, I want you to see his conduct. Now, it's one thing to be called and assigned a task, but it's another thing to do it without hesitation. Yeah. It's one thing to face a trial, but it's another to handle it in the right spirit. A lot of you face things. That's a great calling to face this trial and face this task. But how you handle it, how you conduct yourself is what makes the difference. Now I want you to watch here. Many men would have heard this news and said, nope, I ain't staying around. They'd have took off, run and left. And said, I'm living my life for me. I'm not living it for God. I'm not going to raise this child. I'm not going to have anything to do with Mary. You pick somebody else. That's what a lot of people would have done. But not Joseph. No, not Joseph. He was not concerned what the community thought. He was concerned about what God thought. Watch here. He is obedient. The Bible says in verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. He obediently marries her. I think he marries her just as quick as he can. He marries her. Fear not to take her, be your wife. And he does. He's obedient. He also observes something else. He observes that she remain a virgin. Now, you know, after you get married, the Bible says that the bed is undefiled. And now that you're married, it's okay to show your love and affection one for another in the bedroom. Once you're married. Right. Let me say that again. Once you're married.
Now Joseph and Mary have got married. Did I read that verse right in 24? He took him for his wife. He took her for his wife. You see that? Watch verse 25. And he knew her not. Do you understand what that means? Nod your head if you're getting it. He knew her not. He knew her not when. He knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. He observed that she remained a virgin. Even after he married her, until she had this child. And after she had this child, they did have other children together. Jesus had half brothers and half sisters later on. But understand, he was observant that she remained a virgin. Watch this. He officially names him Jesus. He could have said, well, I'm going to do all this, but I ain't naming him Jesus. Nope, I want to name him Joseph Jr. But the Bible says, he called his name Jesus. In fact, over there again in Luke chapter 2, go back with me. When he came, in Luke chapter 2, when he came and he was going to present the child, the Bible says that when he had him circumcised, his name was called Jesus. And watch what else he does. He offers a sacrifice. He presents him to the Lord and he offers a sacrifice of two turtle doves. Now back in Leviticus chapter 12, a sacrifice for a newborn male, firstborn male, was a sheep, a lamb of the first year. Preacher, he didn't offer a lamb. All he offered was two turtle doves or two young pigeons. That's all he offered. Well, the Bible says in the book of Leviticus, if you're poor and you can't afford a sheep or a lamb, then you can offer turtle dove. It made that provision. And so Joseph and Mary, Brother John, they didn't have anything. They didn't have much. And so to prove it to us, they offered two. Look at Leviticus chapter 12 when you want to, verse number 8. You can study that home. They offered two young turtle doves because that's all they had. But he still came out and gave to the Lord as he was required by the law. There was a grandma. She's going through the shopping mall. Christmas time. Said, I hate buying these presents and fighting this crowd to try to get something for my grandkids, and they've got everything. They might as well call their house Walmart. They don't need a thing. They don't appreciate a thing. I grumble about even having to buy them anything. And as she went through, she heard a little boy counting his money towards a register with the store clerk there, saying, I know I have enough. I know I have enough. I know I have enough. Count it again. It's enough. She stopped and watched him as he counted pennies and nickels and a few dollars. And every time he counted, he came up short. And he said, but I really want to buy this doll. And he lifted it up. He said, I want to buy it for my sister and give it to her for Christmas. Listen, it's got to be done. The store clerk says, I'm sorry, son, but that's not enough money to buy that doll. Well, that grandma was drawn to that situation. And she walked over to that young man and she said, son, what's wrong? He said, my sister needs this doll for Christmas. I promised her I'd buy it. And they said, I don't have enough money. And the lady says, well, listen, son, maybe somebody else will buy your sister that doll for Christmas. He said, you don't understand. There's only one person can give this doll to my sister. And they said, what? Only one person give this doll to my sister. And that's my mommy after I've bought it. You see, lady, my sister just died the other day, and she's in heaven. And my mommy's in the hospital, and she's dying too. The doctor said she may die today. And ma'am, I've got to get that doll today to give to my mommy to take to my sister and let her know it's from me and how much I love her. And that lady looked down and said, is that right, son? She said, yeah. Lady, I need help. And that lady said, let's count it again. And she opened her purse and she took out just more than enough to buy that little doll. And as that little boy counted that money and he saw he had enough, he became excited. He said, oh, I knew it would happen. I knew it would happen. All the way here when my aunt brought me to the store, I said, Jesus, would you give me enough money? Jesus, would you give me enough money to buy this doll for my sister? And I knew he would do it. And he said, ma'am, it looks like there's more money here that I need. Can I buy one white rose for my mommy? And she said, sure, son, go ahead. He purchased that. His aunt came. He took off with her down the hallway there and took off out the door. That grandmother, she's headed for home, and she remembered. She'd seen on the news and had read in the newspaper there had been a terrible accident in town. A drunk driver had hit a family, and the daughter was killed, and the mother was in the hospital in critical condition. She watched the paper again the next day thinking, can that be the right, can that be the people, the boy I was just talking to? Well, that seems impossible. But yet, she opened the paper the next day, the mother died. She said, I feel led. I don't know who these people are, but I feel led to go to the visitation. And she went down to the viewing. When she got there, she saw the casket open. And she seen that little boy as he started to run towards her. And he jumped up in her arms and he hugged her. And he said, you see, ma'am, I got here in time. I got back in time. God did it. Look what Jesus did for me. And he took her by the hand and led her up to the casket of his mother. And inside that casket was a white rose laid on her chest. And in her arm, that little doll. And that lady was so blessed to be a part of helping that youngster. And she said, one day, he said, one day I'll see my sister and I'll see my mommy again. And I thank you for letting us have a happy Christmas. It may be you're poor. You don't have a whole lot to give. And I want to tell you what, God has made a way that every one of us can give something. The sacrifice that's been made is through Jesus Christ, our precious Lord and Savior. And if you can't give anything else, you can give yourself to serve Him. As a testimony, clean, pure, and simple before Him. Aren't you glad that God made a way where Joseph, who was poor, when he didn't have enough to give, he didn't have a lamb to give, he could give two turtle doves and it'd be acceptable. When I didn't have a way, man, God gave His Son that I might be afforded the opportunity to go to heaven. Bless His holy name for that. What would the Christmas story be like if Joseph had reacted differently than he did? How's it going to turn out in your life, in your home, if you act differently than God needs you to? You stand to your feet this morning. I want to say to you, God took a poor, humble carpenter, a nobody, to carry out a heavenly mission. He gets overlooked every year. It may be somebody here today in this service, you've been overlooked. But you know what? God's still looking for some special people to accomplish a task for His glory. He's looking for somebody to go through the shopping mall and be a help to somebody. He's looking for somebody to lend a helping hand. Someone to make a phone call. Someone to send a card. Somebody to serve Him, be a witness and a testimony. You realize what a task they were given. They went ahead and performed it. God's looking for that person today who's willing to say, God, I want to do and I want to be what You want me to be. Let me ask this question. Are you one of those people that's seen your dreams turn into nightmares? Your heart broken, crushed, ready to give up? Be a Joseph. It's, I don't care what everybody else thinks about me. This is what God's brought into my life, and I'm going to serve Him in tragedy. I'm going to serve Him in crisis. It's what He wants me to do, and I love Him, and I'm going to bless His name. You'll never be asked probably to do what Joseph did. The Christ child will never be born again. Amen. Next time he's coming as King of Kings. But He is looking for somebody special in this church. You've been chosen and called a man or a woman of character. How you want to conduct yourself in this trial, in this tragedy, in this situation in your life. It may be determined by this altar this morning what you're going to do with what He spoke to you to your heart today. Your head's bowed, there's nobody looking. I wonder, not knowing your heart or your need, if someone would come to the instruments, please, and you'd play. I feel led to open this altar up and say, would you come today? Would you come? Say, God, never thought much about Joseph. I have overlooked him. I feel like I've been overlooked a lot of times too. Don't feel like I'm very needed or very important in the church. Maybe I feel that way in your family. But God's chosen you. His eye is upon you today. You may not feel like you've got a lot to give, but you're just what He's looking for today. There's folks come to this altar to bow. I'm wondering, who's going to step out and say, Lord, when I think about Joseph, I want to be a man or a woman of godly character and godly integrity. And on my knees, I bow on this altar today, saying, God, given me a task, and I pray you'd help me perform it for your glory. Carry it out. See to it, Father, that your will's done in my life. And today, I ask your help. Sweet surrender I make to thee today. Would you come this morning? Things didn't turn out just like you planned, did they? Are you willing to admit, God, thank you for working behind the scenes? I don't know what you're up to, but I can't wait to find out. And I'm going to serve you in this thing.